This is the Cubs-related podcast. Tonight is Monday, April 3rd. The Cubs are 0-1. They lost to the Cardinals last night, 4-3. Randall Grichuk, unfortunately, walked off for the Cardinals. With me is Corey. Corey, what's your take? We're 0-1.
You know, at this point, I just tear it down, start over, ship everybody off for what you can get, and, you know, just full rebuild, right?
I mean, it will only take 3 or 4 years. I think it's time to do it.
I mean, you know, Chris Bryant, I mean,
3 strikeouts, get him out of here.
He won an MVP for that.
and they want to extend that guy? Are you kidding?
I wonder if there's anybody listening going, like, oh my God, are these guys kidding right now?
I hope so. That would be kind of funny, actually.
But in reality, I actually was pretty, and I think I said this to you during a game, pretty calm about all of it. I was, you know, we had joked on here a lot about, you know, how quickly I'd get angry or things like that. And, you know, certainly, you know, losing is not fun. Losing to the Cardinals is not fun. And there was certainly enough in that game, I think, especially the Rizzo called third strike that was not a strike, you know, enough to sort of piss me off a little bit. But in general, I thought, you know, opening night, this is a brand new situation, obviously for us as fans, but especially as players, where there's, you know, pregame celebrations for these guys, and that's going to continue until we get done with the stuff at Wrigley Field. All the broadcasts are talking about them. They're, you know, for the first time really being introduced to the world as the world champions. And so I think it was almost, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say it's good to lose, but, you know, the whole night kind of felt like a bit of a Band-Aid ripping, if you will. Like, we're back. This is a new year. We all kind of agree as fans of this sport to kind of put stock in each year independently. And, you know, kind of good to just get going. And you know, the Cardinals with a brief reminder that these games count and other teams also would like to win. And, you know, that we're back in the swing of things.
The one takeaway I got, I don't know if you noticed it too, maybe it was just my perception, but it was almost as if, and of course the Cubs want to win, they're going to play hard, but it was almost as if the Cardinals were trying so, so, so hard to win that game, almost like a playoff atmosphere for them. I mean, when Contreras tied that game up in the ninth and the broadcast zooms over and Carlos Martinez, it looks like Martinez just blew the World Series, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, I don't blame them. I think, you know, we would feel a similar way if, you know, the Cardinals or Pirates or somebody in our own division had just won the World Series, especially when it's the Cubs and Cardinals, longstanding rivalry. And, you know, I think the Cardinals are obviously already there and have been in that mindset, obviously for a lot longer than the Cubs of, you know, turn the page. This is a new year and we want to start off on the right foot and remind the Cubs that we're participating in this division as well. You know, while, you know, mainstream broadcasts such as ESPN are very happy and quick to just, you know, sign the Cubs up for another playoff run and the division championship, I don't know that the rest of the participants in the NL Central agree with them.
No. Was there any one moment, though, where you just got a little bit pissed off? I mean, it's hard for me to accept that you were not mad for 1 second last night. There were so many instances.
Yeah, I mean, not really. You know, and well, because, you know, to be honest with you, I'll be forthright with you. This was game 1 of 162. Yeah. And like I said, throughout this whole offseason and really as soon as it started, I just had a bit of a calm. And actually, you know, we're recording this on Monday night, 8:45 Pacific time. And Evan Altman from Cubs Insider was just on 670 The Score. And I thought did a good job of articulating kind of the difference between 2015, 2016, and obviously this current year. And the difference is kind of being, you know, 2015 was really live and die with everything because the Cardinals were so far out ahead. And we weren't even sure they were going to make the playoffs until, you know, if I'm remembering correctly, like early September or August when the Giants kind of started to fade away.
Yeah. I mean, they were around 500 around August, and they just got shut out by
the very famous Chris Bryant home run against the Rockies. But, you know, and then obviously last year they come out and play gangbusters, but you still have that, you know, gigantic burden of literally the biggest story in sports hanging over you, that you have to win the World Series at some point. It's just not the same as everybody else's quest to win the World Series, whether we want to embrace all of the, you know, hoopla around that or not. And this year, just, it does feel different. It's like they won the World Series. I care very much about these games as much as I ever have, but it is impossible, at least for me, to deny that kind of existential dread, if you will, is not there anymore, where it's like, okay, they lost, you know, and if things are going south or whatever, it's like, all right, you know, they just won the World Series. They can't do it every year. And it sounds insane to say, right, you know, because of who we are and the history. But I think it was impossible not to feel that way. And getting to what I was being forthright about, I was kind of thinking about watching WrestleMania after the game. So I was pretty calm and just kind of going with the flow, if you will.
I was surprised how I reacted to the game.
Were you the opposite?
I wasn't pissed, but I was definitely disappointed when they didn't get a base hit with the runners in scoring position. They blew that
game. Well, yeah, I mean, that was no good. It just was, you know, not a good game from Chris Bryant, a terrible at bat from Tommy La Stella, which, you know, we can talk about that or not.
Bryant had an awful night. In all seriousness, he actually had an awful night. Yeah, I actually was pissed off at one moment. Can you guess that one moment?
He was pissed off at one moment.
I was trying to figure out
if you've told me this and I'm supposed to be pretending that I'm guessing, or if you haven't told me this and I actually am guessing.
I think it's more like you should be pretending that you're guessing. you should know this. Do you not know it?
I'm drawing a blank on it.
Okay, to be fair to our listeners, I'm pissed off about quite a bit throughout the day. But the one moment that really pissed me off, and I'm sorry, I will defend Addison Russell to the grave, but when when he kicked Russell on that ankle, man, I was so pissed, so pissed. I understand that Fowler's, the adrenaline's running, he's trying to show up his former teammates and go hard. I get that, but my God, Fowler, show some self-control and hit some of that. Don't kick. And go out, dude. He slid past that base like a slip and slide. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't react.
Oh, I was pissed.
As strongly as you did, but I think you can kind of tell that even Addison kind of looks at him like,
I am
nowhere near the base. Like, what are you kicking my ankle for? Yeah, I didn't like it, but you know, it was one of those things that I looked at right away and was like, I'm pretty sure Dexter's not trying to hurt Addison.
It
was a little sketch, and really my first thought was like, you know, is Russell fine? And obviously there was no issue there, but you know, when you see someone kicking him in the ankle, you're like, okay. But you know, I mean, my overall takeaway was, I think that there was a lot of good in that game. Losing a one-run game on the road, like you said, I think the Cardinals very, very pumped up for that game, and rightly so. And, you know, look, tip of your cap, Carlos Martinez was fantastic.
Oh, he was so
throwing
good.
100 miles an hour on the black.
With those changeups,
looked really, really good. I mean, really good fade, good movement, good control on that. But you know, go look back at the strike zone. I mean, he was really painting last night. And when you're throwing 100 and you looked at, you know, some of those pitches he was throwing to Bryant, like up and in on the hands, 100 miles an hour.
Yeah,
you just got to, I think you got to tip your cap on that one. But you know, as far as the things that I liked in the game, Kyle Schwarber looked very comfortable in the leadoff spot, obviously getting on a few times. And I think he was on base three times, if I'm not mistaken.
He started the game off, I believe.
Two hits and a walk.
Yeah. And then
he drove that
ball in the gap, too. So
And we talked about it separately, but really taking some really impressive pitches. One of the – probably the only benefit of ESPN leaving the strike zone up for the whole game.
Do you not like that?
Are you kidding?
No, I'm actually being serious here. Do you not like that? I actually like it.
I'm totally fine with them putting it off to the side, but I want to watch the game. Yeah, I mean, get out of here.
I don't mind it. I mean, it's very subtle.
I would probably not have a problem with it if it was the actual strike zone, but it never is. So what's the point? All it does is create those awkward moments where, you know, Dan Schulman or whoever has to be like, and that one catches just a little bit of the plate. And you're like, Dan, we can see that it didn't.
You convinced me.
But, you know, you can see that Kyle's taking some really close pitches. And obviously we were just talking about how good the pitches were from Carlos Martinez. And O is a very good pitcher as well. So, you know, for him to be taking some of those pitches and have the confidence that he knows his zone and what he's looking for, I thought was a really good sign. I thought that, you know, I assume we'll talk about it, but I wasn't super thrilled with Wilson's framing. I thought he was pretty energetic back there, which is something that I think will calm down. I think this is...
He's still a young kid.
Well, and, you know, this is a tough task for him. Well, and just that, you know, he's a young kid. This is his first time, you know, being the anchor of the staff as the catcher and opening night, defending champions on the road. I think a lot of it had to do with adrenaline and just kind of being a little hyped up. But it did look like he and Lester were working well. You know, we didn't get any obvious miscommunications or angry John Lester mound visits, which I was, you know, probably looking forward to, even though it would have been a bad thing.
It will happen at some point.
But, you know, it did look like they were communicating well. There didn't seem to be many, if any, issues there.
I have one beef, though.
Yeah.
The pitch to Grichuk, I did not like. It was 0-2.
Mike Montgomery?
No. It was the Pedro Strop.
Yeah.
I did not like that 0-2. You gotta go with your best pitch.
Well, and I think you can go back and look at Pedro's reaction to that. I don't think Pedro was pleased with himself either. But the other thing that I wanted to point out was the Cubs go right back to reminding everybody that they are not going to lose until you have gotten 27 outs, and they don't win the game. But I think to be down 3-0 with 2 outs. And, you know, you have your young catcher up there and nobody's saying die. Nobody's going home. And I think that's important, you know, and to just, you know, a quick reminder, you know, as the Cardinals were reminding us that they plan on participating in this division, the Cubs can also remind people like, yeah, you know, Carlos Martinez was dealing and, you know, it was all fun and games. But until you've won the game, you have not won the game against this Cubs team.
Yeah, and that was actually a good pitch that Wilson hit. I knew O left the changeup up a little bit over the plate, but he stayed on that, hit the hell out of the ball.
Yeah, an impressive hit.
Thoughts on the lineup? There, at least on Twitter, there are some people who are not pleased with it.
In relation to who? No Almora?
Yeah, well, even some people were surprised that Jay against a righty wasn't playing. Mm-hmm. I got a few mentions on my feed that were not happy about that.
So, not really. I mean, I think Joe's notion of wanting to, you know, sort of celebrate the guys that were out there for that World Series win was fine with me.
But you know what? It does make sense to have Baez, and we were just listening to, Evan on the score, and they were talking about it too, but it makes sense to have Baez play second base.
Well, and that's something they did all throughout the playoffs was him with Lester. So
not just playing second base in general, but in particular against, let's say, or when Lester is pitching or even when Hendricks is pitching, two guys who heavily rely on their defense to bail them out, so to speak.
Right.
So it does make sense.
Yeah, so I didn't really take any issue with the lineup. Yeah. And to be honest with you, I really enjoyed those innings where it rolled over to Javi, actually.
Yeah, you know, it caught me off guard because I was so...
Javi, Schwarbs, Bryant, Rizzo. Good luck to everybody.
I've been so used to Javi batting in the middle of the order from this past postseason that it's like, oh, wow, Schwarber's up now? And I still have to get used to the pitcher batting eighth. I know they did that all of 2015, but it still surprises me when I'm not fully aware of it.
But did you notice, I don't recall what inning it was in, but John Lester swinging away on a 2-0 pitch.
Of course. Dude, he had I think it was the sixth or seventh most hard hit baseballs for pitchers last year.
Yeah.
on that list was
but like I mean I still just think it was funny, you know. I think they were getting they're getting shut out at the time.
Yeah,
and John's hacking away.
Good. I want him to hack away.
But no, I mean I think overall, aside from the result and a couple of things that I might nitpick, I thought it was a pretty good game. It's still very strange to go through a broadcast where the Cubs are, you know, the defending champion on their back, and it was pretty strange to hear all of that. And also, you know, the real down to winning a championship is that you got to be on national TV so much. Because, man, no real offense to those guys, but these broadcasts are brutal, man.
Well, did you listen to the Pat call when Contreras hit that homer? I'm sure you did.
You know, I did afterward. We tried to sync it up, but we just, you know, we weren't – our internet was a little wonky last night, so we weren't able to get it. And
it was terrific.
Sort of tired of the process. But, yeah, the highlight was great.
Yeah, it was absolutely terrific. Well, we have a game tomorrow. We have Arrieta going, and my browser just crashed, so now I don't have the battery matchup for the Cardinals. Do you know who's pitching tomorrow for the Cardinals? I should know this.
Wainwright,
okay.
According to the MLB app.
Yeah.
So don't quote me on that.
So tomorrow, who do you think will be in the lineup? You think Baez gets the nod again? Do you think Jay finally starts? Will Almora get the nod? What do you think?
I am not really sure. I would think that we would get one of Almora or Jay in center field.
Who do you want to see? You want to see Almora, right?
I'd like to see Almora. I just, yeah. You know, I feel like he had a great spring, and I'm excited to see if he can kind of keep that up. So I'd rather just kind of get that going. And I like that defense, obviously. So
yeah, there was actually one play. Now that I think about it, I forgot what inning it was, but there was a ball hit in the gap to right field, and who knows if Hayward would have made the play, but it seemed as if
Benzo doesn't.
Yeah. So there are instances where I'm like, okay, I really like Javi at second base, but man, I really like having Almora and Hayward in the outfield to save some of those.
Well, and you know, on that note, I know that Martinez was dealing, and you know, you certainly on a night when Chris Bryant looks like that, you know, I'm not going to harp on it, but you know, still just pretty disappointed in what we're seeing from Jason Hayward. That was almost an exact replica of the results that we saw all of last year. Pop up on the infield, soft grounder, strikeout, you know? Yeah. So I don't want to belabor the point, but, you know, again, I'm just waiting for that moment where I'm like, okay, you know, and it's also, you know, it's to the point where, you know, you see people on Twitter and stuff like that applauding him for running that ball out that gets on the Carpenter error in the ninth that keeps the inning going. And I'm like, is that where we're at now, where we're, you know, applauding him for respecting 90? I mean, there's a reason that that's a saying for Joe Maddon. It's not something you should be applauded for. It's just something you should be doing.
Yeah, but, I mean, you got to give him credit for it. He could have easily been. I mean, if it was me, and
I completely disagree with you. Let's flesh this out. You think you give him? What was he supposed to do?
Corey, it's very easy to be dejected and not really be conscious of.
Yeah, and I'm saying that's not acceptable. Yeah,
acceptable.
Well, right. So that's my point. So I think if it's unacceptable to do that, I don't think we should be patting him on the back for it. Guy hit 220 or whatever last year. He can't be bothered to run out of, and he did. So I'm just saying, but it's just, I just find it weird that we're giving people credit for that.
All I know is we've seen enough plays from several players over so many years who could have easily just jogged it out, pissed off. What I'm trying to say, Corey, is that even in Hayward's struggles, he's been struggling now for well over a year, that he still has the awareness to run that out. Whether you think that's, you know...
No, that's a better way of articulating.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that I'll give you. Yeah. And again, I didn't mean to turn it into a poop on Jason Hayward segment, but it was hard not to know. And, you know, I think you probably noticed as well. It was a carbon copy of the results. Pop up, soft grounder, strikeout. You know, that's like the big three outcomes for Jason Hayward for the better part of last year. So, but... We'll see. Let's get him in front of a pitcher that isn't Carlos Martinez painting the black with 100-mile-an-hour fastballs before we get too out of control there.
So when will you actually be upset at the Cubs? Like, when will that actually happen?
I think I really think I got to give him
It already happened to me, so I already passed my point. Yeah. And I'm surprised that it happened to me first.
You know, I think at this point, I don't think they, you know, if they clown around, I certainly get mad. You know, I remember, I think it was against, the Rockies last year, like that, where they just played like the worst game. I think, you know, like Rizzo has a couple errors. They made like four errors in the game, just terrible approach at the plate.
Yeah.
You know, just real messes of games, you know, and I didn't like last night, they lost a one run game. Like it's not like they're throwing the ball around the field or, you know, really doing things that are super egregious, but I'm kind of inclined to give them until after we get back to Wrigley Field. I think that this is still a very unique period for them where there's just a lot going on. And, you know, you want to be and Anthony Rizzo talked about it. He wrote for the Players Tribune about his experience prior to, during and a little bit after Game 7 of the World Series. To, you know, do everything as normally as possible, trying to go through his normal routine, not change anything up. It was Game 7 of the World Series. And, you know, I think this portion of the season is going to be a real test of that. You know, like I said, you just have all these ceremonies and presentations and honors, and, you know, you've got to, you know, they're just being introduced as the world champions, and you're seeing people that you haven't seen since you won the World Series. So
the Cubs won the World Series, yes.
They did, yes. Yeah, that is a point that I will belabor.
Yeah,
I'm happy to.
Yes.
But, yeah, so I think, you know, once we get done with the banner raising and the ring ceremony against the Dodgers, I think it'll be a little easier to kind of turn the focus. You know, and if, you know, I sincerely doubt that the majority of the fan base is going to give them that long. But I think it's only fair, you know, especially with such a young team and really only, what would it be? Two guys, maybe, Wade Davis and Ben Zobrist that have actually gone through this exact process before. So, I'm inclined to give them, you know, until, what is that, the 12th of April, that second game against the Dodgers. So
yep, 9 days.
I think once we get past that, yeah, I think it's time to, you know, and you're never turning the page. We're never going to forget what they did. It's completely changed all of our lives, I think. But I think that's when we'll really kind of be like, okay, we're done with the documentaries. We're done with the newspaper articles and features.
Player Tribune articles.
Yeah, exactly. I think we're, you know, the books and all this other stuff. And I think we're finally at the point where it's like, okay, let's, you know, really shift our focus to 2017 and what we're doing here. So,
I mean, if Arrieta comes out tomorrow, and
well, you're
going to
be
all over the. I will be an absolute mess.
For those that don't know, Brendan will probably have the release point, you know,
I will actually
during the game and be nervously freaking out as with each slight variance.
No, you joke now, Corey, but I'm actually that serious that there will be a post up the following day about Jake Arrieta's release point. I can promise you that. I can promise you that.
I look forward to it. And his velo.
Yeah, of course his velo. I actually looked at John Lester's velo yesterday, and it's about 1 mile per hour slower than last year. So, yeah, take that.
I thought John looked real good.
No, he looked great. No, he looked. Yeah. Really, he looked.
No,
really
I was
good.
Just saying we didn't necessarily comment on his outing, but I thought he looked really good.
Well, I looked back at it and I wanted to see if there was a difference between the way that David Ross called the game and how Wilson Contreras called the game. I didn't really see much
from
of a difference.
From a sequencing perspective?
Sequencing is very hard to do because it's hard to string together those you know data points, but just looking at where they actually throw the pitches, where Lester throws the pitches, he did the same thing. You know, cutter outside, cutter inside the lefties. And for the most part, it was very similar. So nothing too crazy there. And, I joke about the velocity, but in all seriousness, 91's fine. He hit like 93 a few times, so...
Yeah. Well, and for, you know, and for Lester, I think he's someone who I think the more important thing for him is control, you know, and the execution of the game plan.
There were a few pitches that were left up, I mean, qualitatively that I thought were left up. And he missed a few of his spots. And I think Madden even said that he wasn't his sharpest, but did enough to get the team in a good position to win.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Look, if there is one player on this team that I'm not worried about whatsoever, it's Lester. he is a machine. He is like that pitching machine at your batting cages every single time, same release points, perfect for the most part, every time. So I'm not concerned about him. And it will be a nice test for me. I mean, I already got a little upset from the first game, but it will be a nice test for me to see how Arrieta goes about his start tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. The first foray into Jake Arrieta's big contract year.
Yeah.
So we'll see what we get there. But I think I'm not really sure there's much else. Again, we're coming to you. I assume most of you have seen David Ross's latest, whatever you want to call that. Anthony Rizzo actually posted a couple hours ago a video of it and referred to it as the what nightmares are made of. So if you haven't seen David Ross's dance tonight, that is what Anthony Rizzo thinks about it.
Well, David Ross did say he wants to get outside his comfort zone, and what better way to take your pants off and do some interesting motions with your hips. We'll leave it at that. I don't want to get too X-rated on this podcast.
So, but I think the plan is to come back to you guys generally after one series prior to another so that we can kind of recap and preview.
Every podcast for the most part will be a series preview podcast, and then obviously a wrap up from what we just saw from the previous series.
Yeah, so I think, hopefully that works for y'all. If it doesn't, as always, let us know. But, we wanted to jump on today just because it's an off day and the Cubs are back. We're playing real baseball. No more spring training fun. And, like I said, kind of a Band-Aid ripping last night where, if you weren't ready to turn the page from 2016, a walk-off by the Cardinals, I think, is about as much as you can ask for to kind of slap you in the face with reality. Like, hey,
by Randall Grichuk,
the parade is over. Yeah, I know, right? Randall with one L. Well, I'm just saying, it's a good, we live in a world where you got to make sure you remember where the L's are. Wilson has two, Randall has one. It's just confusing.
What's with you and spelling tonight? You're all over the place on my spelling.
Do you
really care that I can spell Randall Grichuk correctly, in all honesty?
No, I don't.
Okay.
So I think, that's the plan. Hopefully that works. And I think that'll be a good flow to kind of, and as always, if something goes down big time and, in the middle of a series or something like that, we'll probably jump on so that we can talk about it when it is fresh and salient in everybody's mind. But, I think being able to recap and preview, I think, is a good way to kind of flow discussion and stuff like that. But, yeah, it's good to have the Chicago Cubs back. It's good to have the Chicago Cubs defending the World Series championship. Don't forget it.
The Cubs won the World Series, that's correct.
Yeah, hopefully we get Cy Young Arrieta tomorrow to kind of even this series out. We'll have a rubber match on Wednesday, and then we'll head to Milwaukee.
Yeah, and we have some good stuff tomorrow on Cubs Insider. Evan wrote a phenomenal piece about Kyle Schwarber. And Corey alluded to it, but it's more or less centered on his ability to take those really close borderline pitches. And then we also have another article on Wilson Contreras' framing with John Lester, comparing it to David Ross as well. Some good stuff tomorrow. But like Corey said, we'll be coming to you guys before the next series. And until then, we'll talk to you guys soon.